Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? Driving high will get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell you're driving high, well, everyone else can. Friends?
I can tell you drove high.
Parents?
I can tell when you drive high.
Relatives?
I can tell. You drove here high, didn't you?
So what makes you think law enforcement can't?
I can tell.
If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like. And it gives you your best night's sleep. Night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Suze. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year is here. All beds on sale, up to 50% off the limited edition smart bed, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, 25, go!
Pump up the volume.
Told you so.
Kind of like to tell you, told you so.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Shane Steichen named Daniel Jones the Indianapolis Colts starting quarterback for the season.
He's proven that he's played good football in that 2022 season.
Earlier on the show, 15-year NFL veteran quarterback Rodney Pete. Coming up, 7-time NFL Pro Bowler Steve Tasker, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've just been finished hour number one. On the Roku side of things, I guess we should bring it here to the radio audience that front office sports talking about how I'm going to start doing more sports centers with one of the top executives there saying that they're into the idea. Feelings mutual. Tell you that.
Yes, sir.
I'm just upset that that story didn't include my news that I started the show with, that I'm returning to RPM tonight. I mean, I guess that wasn't part of the release.
Should I quote tweet that and be like, also coming soon?
Yeah, tonight. Tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah, we're going to break down on RPM tonight my review of Cars, which is available on Disney Plus. That's right, true. Around the Roku portal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cars 2? Not so much.
See, I'm okay with Cars 2. I know you hate it. I think it's fine.
Well, I mean, have you seen Cars 2 with
yeah, of course.
Cage?
Yeah.
Didn't have a problem with Mater going toes up?
That's what happens.
But it was a
yeah.
You know, they're fooling them.
I get it.
You know.
That just there's a
Nah, we watch.
It was a rough one in our world when that happened.
We watch Major League and the Marvel movies.
Like, oh, okay, got fine. It. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I got to toughen my kids up.
I mean, I didn't want to say it, but
what are you laughing about over there? What's going
TJ
on?
TJ thinks he wouldn't have had kids based on what he thinks.
Yeah, like, according to TJ, you're lucky you have kids at all.
You have kids at all.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Be thankful.
Yes. Let's take a phone call. Brian in Los Angeles. What's up, Brian in Los Angeles?
Yeah, killing your bloodline.
Brian in Los Angeles, everybody. Let's go. Put him on it.
Hey,
what's
Rich,
on?
Thanks for having me.
What's
and
up, man?
Congrats on the Sports Center. As a fan, it was wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I had an absolute blast doing it, and I clearly am. I'm learning how it's been received, and it makes me thrilled, obviously. So thank you for that, Brian. Thank you.
Love seeing the emotion. So listen, I'm calling today to share. I'm a Las Vegas Raiders fan, die hard, and this season I'm going for a Guinness World Record.
Ooh.
For the most NFL games attended in a season. And okay. The current record is 33 games. Two ladies from Los Angeles, Chargers fans, got that a couple of years ago.
Mm.
And this year I'm going for over 50 games. So every Thursday, Sunday, Monday for 4 months, I'm going to be traveling to a game all over the country.
Wow, my gosh.
That's awesome.
Okay.
It's going to be insane.
Wow. A few years ago, you'd have been Connor Stallion's dream. Because that's when you're right. Am I wrong? Chris, am I wrong?
I don't want to go down this
People
road
going
anymore.
Down to going to games?
I'm so sick
that many games?
About this.
My God, what a gold mine that would be, huh?
I'm so sick of this story.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you.
Brian?
yeah.
I mean.
What's first up, Brian? Like, what is your schedule like?
Yeah.
First weekend is awesome because it's Thursday night, Cowboys, Eagles, and Philly. This is their Super Bowl celebration.
Yes, sir. So you'll be there.
And from there, I travel to New England for Raiders, Patriots, and then Monday night is Vikings, Bears.
That's a fun. Why do you choose New England Raiders out of all of the? Is it because it's geographically sound to Philadelphia? Is that why?
It's a little of both. You know, so what I've done is the last 3.5 years, I've been to the last 56 Raider games in a row. I have a streak going.
Love it.
I haven't missed a home or away. I've been traveling, and I think this year I'm just building upon it and going to other games as well. So I'm going to keep the Raider streak going a little bit.
Okay.
At some point this season, I'll lose it. But I've been blogging the whole thing, the Raider Nation experience, the party the night before the game, the tailgate.
Got it.
And I'm going to be blogging this entire NFL Guinness World Record run as well. And if you don't mind, you can check it out on YouTube, Instagram.
Okay.
It's under All In Autumn Wind.
All In Autumn Wind. It's okay. I like it. It's a power. So and when you're, you know, going through the schedule, I'm just going in my head, you know, obviously week one would be a 4-game possibility, but Brazil is quite geographically unsound.
That's not gonna happen.
But Thanksgiving week, right? Like you got a Thanksgiving game if you can make it to Philadelphia, where I believe the Amazon Friday game is
Black Friday.
Right. Then you've got then you got a day to travel somewhere to Sunday and then the Monday, right? You got that. Are you gonna do that? Because you can clip 4 in 1 week, which is what you gotta do if you want to get to 50.
Christmas week.
I'm doing it. Absolutely. 4 games and whatever it is, 5 days. Yeah. Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday. And then later in the season, there's a couple of Saturday games that I'll go to as well. Some of them haven't been determined yet. Some of them will. So I've been booking all my flights, got it all locked down.
Look at you, man.
I'm pumped. I'm ready to go.
Do you eat vegetables, Brian?
Occasionally.
Okay, that's a problem. Yeah. Because otherwise I'd offer to hook you up with Al Michaels for a flight. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, because if you're going to go to all these Amazon games, if you're going to go to all these Thursday games, you know what I mean? Like, Al could have maybe helped things out, but
Brian,
not if you eat vegetables.
Are you retired? Like, how are you able to navigate all this?
I'm not retired, but I'm in media localization, and I'm taking a little bit of a sabbatical to do this.
Okay.
Too much to be working.
Brian, don't lose our number. Congratulations on saying, you know what, I'm going to do this, and keep us posted. Keep us posted.
I'll check in throughout the season. I'm in L.A., too, so if you want me to stop by, I'll stop by. Let me know.
Thank you, Brian. We'll do that. Thank you. It's Brian in Los Angeles.
That's awesome.
Brian in Los Angeles.
Love it.
When he's all done, bring him in. Be cool.
Okay, Mike, you set that up.
Okay,
great. Listen, I was never, you know, it took me a while to figure out what I wanted to do in my life, you know, and I got a sense of it. And what I turned out to be, neither one of my grandfathers saw it. You know, I never really talked to my mom's dad, Grandpa Leo, about being a sportscaster. I didn't talk to him about much of my career. Same thing with my dad's dad, Grandpa Morris. He did pull me aside, though, and ask me if I wanted to be a rabbi once. And I had to break his heart by telling him that wasn't going to happen.
How old were you?
Probably as a teenager. I knew that.
Okay.
At least I knew that. You know, there was sportscasting.
Yep.
There was, you know, hosting, late night hosting. A sliver still of a dream of being an athlete.
Sure.
You know, there's still, you know what I mean? Like that fire was never doused until the obvious set in. But the reason why I bring it up is so I've never really had my grandfather on either side chime in on what my career path should be. You know? With the exception of being a rabbi. And imagine, again, Archie Manning has never said that about Arch. I mean, just making these assumptions. By the way, as an unofficial Manning son, as Archie knighted me as such on the first Super Bowl I ever covered for NFL Network when I was in the Gatorade suite late night, the night before the game between the Patriots and the Carolina Panthers, and the whole Manning family came in and I sang karaoke for them and with them. And I asked Arch, I love my dad, but can you be my honorary dad? And he said, yes. So I feel free in assuming.
That's special. Yeah.
It's quite the setup, don't you think?
The windup is still going.
Oh my God, it's like Louis Tion, my back.
Just like,
Here's the pitch. Arch apparently heard what Archie said in that, yeah, he's not leaving for the NFL after this season. He's going to stay at Texas. And, you know, Arch is now getting in front of microphones. He is the starting QB. He's QB1 there.
He's got to do media now.
One of the most famous QB1s in Texas since the Dillon Panthers, right?
Right.
You think?
Yeah.
And so here's Arch on his grandfather saying that he's not turning pro at the end of this year.
Arch, your grandpa gave an interview where he said he expects you to be here next year. Is he right?
Yeah, I don't know where he got that from. he texted me and apologized about that, but I'm really just taking it day by day right now.
See, that's another thing my grandfather never did was text me. Either.
All right, so the hype train's now on. We're ramping up number one pick now. It's official. He basically just okayed it.
Yeah.
That we can now go forward with all of this conversation.
100%
yes. He beats Ohio. Look, here's the deal.
Man.
He beats Ohio State, and Daniel Jones looks like crap week one. It's on. Arch to Indy. Or Joe Flacco looks terrible.
Arch to
it's on.
Indy.
Arch to Cleveland. Like Tyler Shuck or Rattler, they look terrible week one. Arch to New Orleans. This is all on now, and Arch just okayed it.
Can we let the kid play in the horseshoe at
That's
least?
What I'm saying.
Can we then let him go through his schedule? Can we allow him the opportunity to have options?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what.
Can we
just do that? I'll let you guys do
can
that.
Do
I am
that?
Not going to do that.
Listen, Chris, you're
putting fully
too
on the hype
much
train.
Pressure on Arch. All right, the kid he doesn't need all the pressure that you're putting on him. Right?
When he was born, he got pressure. He has Manning on the back. His name is Arch. It's on.
I don't understand your take, because his take means your card is insanely valuable.
Let's go.
That's why I was saying that.
For your card, you don't need Arch to have another year of Sarkisian seasoning.
No. Ooh, that's a good fantasy.
I need that.
Oh, you like that one?
Yeah, that's good.
Seasoning.
You don't need that. You need what Chris is advocating.
I know, that's why
he
got what I was saying.
Stop talking about the kid's future that we're not going. Can you live in the moment? I feel like this is what Susie and I tell our kids all the time, live in the moment. And Susie's like, I'm going to live in the moment. And then she sees me on my phone and she calls me out for that. And then you're right. And then I try to tell her something and she's on her phone. Wait a minute. Is this on? But can we just live in the moment here with this kid?
He's
please?
Taking questions about.
But he's not. He's taking questions because his grandfather. The headline of that is Archie apologized.
Spoke out of turn.
Well, because
he's leaving.
It is his life at the end of the day.
Which is what I've been saying this whole time.
Right. I know that. You've also said, though, what you just said is now the hype train's
it's on.
This doesn't confirm.
We've left the station.
This does not confirm that he's leaving Texas at the end of the season. What it confirms is he wants to leave, keep his options open, and also tell everyone, apparently including the patriarch, it's my choice.
That's when I win the Heisman and the Natty, I'm out.
This guy.
See you later.
This guy.
Austin in my rear view.
I get that, Rich, and that sounds great.
Right
here. But after, I don't know, week three, when Arch has, I don't know, 13 touchdown passes, then, you know.
Why not make it 14?
Well, because he'll come out.
Why are you limiting him?
He'll come out at one point because, you know, you got
to. And he's like minus 500 to win the Heisman, and Texas is 2-1 to win the Natty.
By the way.
And I'm 1-1 on getting a boat.
Win the Heisman.
There's a lot for
sale. There's some really talented kids that are going to be in the Heisman race.
Yeah, cool. And you know what their names aren't?
Not
Arch Manning.
Oh, yeah. Stop it.
The Manning.
Come on. You know I'm his number one fan.
Let's see him
if we're going to you know, create a fiction, which you're doing right now, okay?
Damn, I started this with this card.
If we're going to create fictions, can we at least just start with week one, where he goes into the horseshoe?
Which is what you want to have happen. Yeah.
I'm allowing myself this week-to-week fantasizing of this. I'm in with you on this front. Because
okay,
I've asked for you to go week-to-week. I've asked you to live in the moment.
Okay.
Involves him first up in front of the whole nation going into Columbus, Ohio, and clowning them all. Absolutely denuding this team as they are.
I've never heard that.
Showing up,
a great word,
all in one scarlet and gray party to watch a banner get raised to celebrate a remarkable playoff run that delighted an entire Buckeye nation and also caused them to stop screaming for the scalp of their head coach, who's now just the king of all kings. But just four quarters after Arch comes in and then plants the flag, please bring the flag to Ohio, please. Because I want to see some schmigeg in the state capitol try and pass another law to say no flags were allowed to be planted in Ohio Stadium on a Saturday and blah, blah, blah. I want to see all of it.
Schmeg means nonsense, baloney.
Schmegeg.
Foolish. Yeah.
Is somebody who is a schmegeggy or does
person.
Some schmegeggy things.
I had to look this up.
Schmegeg.
Yiddish derived word.
Please. Again, something Archie's never told Arch. Listen, Schmegeggy. Week to week is all I'm asking for. Let the kid play, but the first week. That's what's going to have to happen.
Okay, good.
Please.
I'm glad we're on the same boat here.
Please.
We're rowing in the same direction.
I am.
Funny use of words there, Chris.
August 30th, a co-minister of culture.
Oh, my God. Look, I'm
from my couch in Los Angeles.
Yeah. See, the week-to-week thing is great,
Rich. Me and McConaughey. You know what? I'm going to be, like, I'll be in the black hole knocking on the books. Like Interstellar.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
Not the bugs.
Everybody's going to wonder, what's going on? How do we know the plays? Well, I'm in the black hole giving it to them. Because that's what we do.
Yeah. I think the week thing is past, Rich. 2 years ago, we already put Arch in the NFL Let's Hall of Fame.
Let
right? Remember, I said his bust is already made.
Just let him be.
Written.
I'm clearly having my fun here. Let him be.
Nah, I can't.
Let him be.
Let him be. I don't know. We love Arch.
It's going to be tough.
That's going to happen in January. Let it go. Let it go.
Except for week one. Then we're all
in. No, but I'm saying live in the moment. This is the moment. I mean, we're, 10 days from that moment?
Nuts. August 30th.
Please, let that moment happen. I will be incorrigible. Our third hour guest, Albert Breer, will maybe have a 2 cents on this subject.
Yeah, he's not going to like this.
Okay. Steve Tasker is going to join us next.
Hey, all right.
Let's stroll down a little memory lane with one of the best Bills on one of the best Bills teams and a dynastic team, to say the least. What does he think? Because he calls preseason games for the Bills. What does he think about what we just saw in Chicago and how it means the season might go? Steve Tasker, 7-time Pro Bowler, and so much more next on The Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks, let me ask you a serious question. Did you know that driving high is considered driving under the influence? That's right. Driving under the influence of marijuana is against the law in every state. That means even in states where marijuana is legal. That means driving high could get you a DUI. And if you think law enforcement officers can't tell when you're driving high, well, my friend, you're wrong. If you're high, they can tell. Your friends can tell. Your coworkers can tell. Even your parents can tell. Everyone can tell. So what makes you think that law enforcement officers don't know when you're driving high? You'd be wrong. They can tell, too. Driving under the influence of marijuana can slow your response time and change how you perceive time and speed. So even if you think you're fine to drive when you're high, you're not. Because the bottom line is, if you feel different, you drive different. And driving high is driving under the influence. So remember, drive high, get a DUI. paid for by NHTSA. Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like. And it gives you your best night's sleep. Night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Suze. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year is here. All beds on sale, up to 50% off the limited edition smart bed, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
The official HBO Hard Knocks podcast is back. I'm your host, Andrew Siciliano. We're joined by NFL and Hard Knocks insiders as the Buffalo Bills prepare to make history.
We're going to do whatever we can to bring Lombardi back here to Western New York.
Catch Hard Knocks, training camp with the Buffalo Bills on HBO Max. Then watch or listen to the Hard Knocks podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I have Interstellar on the brain because I watched it for the first time on the flight back from Europe. Oh my God!
Yeah, I still have never seen that.
Oh, yeah, I've God! Never seen what a
couple
movie.
Of my boys talk about it all the time, and I still have never seen it.
Unbelievable! Unbelievable! There's a girl dad theme to it that just gutted me. I was crying. I was a puddle, an absolute puddle.
Yeah.
So much so I didn't recline my seat.
Oh, well, you knew that.
So
that must have been
and then I had, because again it was 11 hours. I went from that to Batman Begins. Because I'm like, you know what? Christopher Nolan is amazing.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that one more than I think once.
Yeah, that was a little bit different than when you compare to the next two.
Right.
But
I had not, I think I've only saw it the first time and that's it. Do you know there's a scene in the movie, Katie Holmes, who plays Rachel Dawes, the assistant district attorney, encounters a young boy and shields her, she shields him from the Scarecrow, who is, by the way, Killian
Murphy,
right?
Yep.
Do you know who the little boy was?
Oh, let me think.
I paused it. I'm like, I was so blown away by it. It's the kid who grows up eventually to play King Joffrey.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yes. A little kid actor played one of the most hated, hateful people in the history of television.
Right.
And then I went from that I went down to Christian Bale. It's sort of like it was like a theme. I rewatched The Big Short, which is
great flick.
Oh, God, it's so great.
Great flick.
Ryan
Gosling's so funny.
Oh my God,
he's so funny.
The whole scene with the quant.
Yeah.
You know, and
this
by
is
the
my quant.
Yeah, and it's like, that's racist.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, you know, Jeremy Strong is in that too.
Yeah, he's one of Carell's.
It just reminded me how much I miss Succession.
Yeah.
This guy, seven times in the Pro Bowl, five times a first team All Pro, and been back in the day, the, ninth round selection, 226th overall of the 1985 draft. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Tasker back on the program. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing great, Rich. Thank you for the awesome introduction. That's great.
226th overall pick, ninth round draft choice in 1985 of the Houston Oilers, right, Steve?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. I walked into that locker room, had Mike Munchak, Bruce Matthews, and Warren Moon in it.
And eventually, Jerry Glanville is your head coach, Steve?
Yeah, after my rookie year, he was my second year's starting head coach. It was I loved Jerry. Jerry was a great guy, a good friend of mine. In fact,
yes,
he coached my son in the Canadian Football League back in 2018-19.
Look at this.
He was the defensive coordinator for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and I got a chance to go up and say hi to him. Him and June Jones were working up. It was awesome.
So is that where you met Elvis then? You met Elvis in Canada?
No, I have yet to meet Elvis, okay. But I am on the list.
Okay, just want to make sure, go to Will Call, check that one out. Yeah. So give me your favorite Glanville story. Hit me with that,
Steve. He used to tell me, I thought it was cool because I was a rookie and I was a scared to death rookie. I didn't know anything, right? And he's a head coach. It was just my start of my second year. And Jerry was the new head coach, and he had his thing going on. He goes, "Hey, Minnie." He called me Minnie, and he said, "Hey, Minnie, I want you to stand right next to me on the sidelines. You got to be right next to me the whole game." I was like, "Okay," and I was like, "Wow, this is awesome, right?" And he's gonna, keep me there, and because I was doing some stuff, kick returning, playing a little wide out. So I thought I was utility guy, and he wanted me handy, right? So we're there, and after a game or so. Two games, he goes, "Yeah, don't forget you got to stand by." I go, "What are you going to do?" I go, "You didn't do this." He goes, "Well, I just want you to stand by me because people think football players are tall. And so when they see you standing next to me, they're going to think I'm 6'1". Sorry. I'm like, "Okay, Jer."
Oh, my. And Marv Levy said the same thing to you when you got to Buffalo? Is that what happened, Steve?
Yeah, no. Marv, that was not Marv's style. Yeah.
Different story?
Marv's different. Yeah, different vibe.
I bet so, man. And so when did you first realize things were beginning to cook there in Western New York?
I think when we, at the end of, we went 12-4 in 88.
Right.
And it felt a little bit like we caught lightning in a bottle, certainly we had some talent. We had a bunch of Hall of Famers on the crew, but we were kind of missing some ingredients maybe. And it was hard for a guy like me to tell. At the end of 1989, our team was known as the Bickering Bills in that season. We had some guys like Jim and Bruce and Thurman, Cornelius Bennett, mm-hmm. a bunch of guys. And we had a bunch of talent, but we didn't have any chemistry, didn't have any culture, didn't have any, like that. And they were bickering, man. They didn't like each other. They were, it was my least favorite season in my entire career.
No kidding.
And then at the end of that season, Jim Kelly, bless his heart, just reached out and said, "Listen, talk to Bruce, Cornelius Bennett, Thurman, Kent Hull, Daryl Talley, some key guys."
Yeah.
And he said, "Dudes, we're in this together. So when we get home tonight after this game, why don't you come over to the house and hang out a little bit, and we'll start hanging." So when those guys started breaking down the walls of their personal lives and started being friends, because they were great players.
Yeah.
And they started to be friends, and that changed the entire vibe of our team. And those last three games of 89, we lost in the wild card round in Cleveland in one of the great games ever with Bernie and Ronnie Harmon dropped a pass late in the game. Clay Matthews picked Jim off at the very end to seal it. It was a fantastic game. And after that season, we really felt like we turned the corner. Marv made some very shrewd releases and signings in that offseason, and we came back and went to four straight Super Bowls from that point on. Yeah. At the end of 89, we went through some really hard growing pains and came out of it right at the end of that season pretty good. And it carried over, and that team became what it was.
I mean, I'll ask Jim next time he comes on. But can you add any context to what caused Jim to just say, heck, I'm just going to call everybody up, invite them over?
You could feel the tension. You could feel the tension in the locker room, and for whatever. And Jim was one of five sons, so he knew what it was to be in a group, and have strife, when you fight with your brothers, that kind of thing. And he just dropped his guard and said, "Listen, there's no reason for us to be a team like this." And those other guys were all about it. Bruce, Cornelius, Kent Hull, Daryl Talley, they were all about it. And they kind of put their arms around. Jim came over, they downed a couple bottles of wine, and then it started happening every week. They got together at Jim's every week, and then it turned into this post-game thing that really took on this mythic status. Jim, he was single back then. He had this huge house over in Orchard Park, and after every home game, he said he invited the entire team to his house.
Wow.
And he'd feed them. He had a bar And he had a, like this bar in the bottom of his house. I mean, a real bar, like with a dance floor and a pool table and the whole thing. And so everybody showed up at his house, and he was, and he, and I, you know, then you'd have like my mom and dad would come in, or my brothers would come in, or all my family members or college buddies would come in. I said, Jim, I can't get to your house tonight. I got these people in. And Jim would say, hey, bring them over with you. It was more, he said, bring them with you. So we had this, Jim had this get together in his basement after home games that was everybody. My mom and dad were there. They're like, my dad was a pastor. So he had those guys in, and you know, so my mom and dad came over. I mean, everybody was over there, and it became this mythical kind of gathering, and our team became much closer because of it. And we started playing for each other and even each other's families that we knew. We started playing for something bigger than ourselves, and it carried us through 4 pretty good years.
Love it. And you know, one of our favorite Jim Kelly stories was at the Hall of Fame years and years and years ago. And the bartending staff in the hotel where all the Hall of Famers were staying, they needed help. Like there were many more patrons than folks behind the bar, and Jim decided, you know, I'm just going to start helping this staff, and he hopped behind the bar and started serving everyone, and so this tracks is basically what I'm saying, Steve.
Well, I'll say this,
you know,
that Jim cut a wide swath, and this is a true story. When Jim went in the Hall of Fame, he was a first ballot guy.
Oh yes.
And the Hall of Fame said, how many people do we need to accommodate for your group? You know, how many friends are you bringing with you? And he said, 37 busloads. And they said, 37 people? He goes, no, 37 busloads of people. And if you remember, that's the first year where they had to move the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies from the steps of the Hall of Fame into the stadium. That was the first time they did. And Boomer started, you know, Chris Berman started hosting it. It became this big event.
Yep.
And they had to open it up because the entire region of Western New York showed up at Jim's induction. And they just couldn't accommodate all those people. And now it's a big deal. And they do it every year like that. But Jim was the guy who forced them to do that.
Yes. The story that I was told by the Hall of Fame about this, Steve, this is the first time I've heard 37 busloads. That's a first for me. But the story that people say is you could draw a line from Western New York through his hometown of Pittsburgh all the way down to Ohio. And it just was just a massive migration of Jim Kelly lovers that needed to be accommodated within a larger space than the front steps of the Hall of Fame and I-77. That was, you just couldn't fit everybody. And that's why that's why Jim Kelly is the reason why there is a ceremony every year in the stadium, and also that there is a personal bar for the Hall of Famers. Jim created that one too. Like he's got the legend left, right, up and down.
I've met a couple hundred people who bartended at his house at our party.
Steve Tasker here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the here and now with the Buffalo Bills, and starting with the most recent preseason game. Very simple question: what was that, Steve?
Yeah, that was a stinker. That was a stinker.
So what do you think? What do you think?
Yeah, certainly that I've seen that before. I mean, I was a part of it. It was all too familiar to me. We used to go 0-4 under Marv Levy before we'd go to the Super Bowl in the preseason.
Okay.
But that was a stinker. And I think it shocked a couple of it's not that they were bummed about losing the game, but they just didn't feel like they were competitive. I think there's a lot of things in it. The road trip, the couple of days in flopping in a hotel with nothing to do. They showed up flat. They didn't game plan. And I think, I don't know anything about, you know, the Bears and what they, but I get the feeling the Bears wanted to look good in that game. So they game plan, played their ones. I think they gave Caleb Williams a few extra things to work with offensively. They let him air it out a little bit. And it's a testament to how thin the margins are. You got a team that won 5 games. I think Chicago won 5 games last year, and the Bills are in the conference championship. And if you don't show up with your guys, you're going to get your head handed to you by anybody. Even in the preseason, the Bills didn't play their top 25 or 30 guys. So there's a little bit of that in there. But you could tell in Sean McDermott's post-game press conference, in talking to some of the players, yeah, that was a little embarrassing for him. And I don't know how much different it'll be this week in Tampa Bay on Saturday. But yeah, that was a little too much, even for a preseason game, and I think they felt it.
Yeah, because again, it really, you know, with all due respect to the Saturday game in Tampa, that might be more to see who's going to be guys 40 to 53 on the roster, right? More than a prism or an indication of what things are going to look like when it really starts in a big, huge way,
yeah.
You know, on the first Sunday night of the season with the Ravens coming into Orchard Park. So that said, I mean, just nationally, Steve, the conversation I think last year was disrespectful, and the Bills responded by basically saying, yeah, we're just going to win the division again. And as a matter of fact, we're going to wrap it up with 5 weeks to go. And then we're going to have Josh Allen as an MVP and a true, you know, Hall of Fame candidate down the line here. Now, I guess the respect is, sure, you can win this division. But outside of that, let's see it again. Roster-wise, who else is there? Is that a fair assessment of the Buffalo Bills? Or are we disrespectful again here?
Well, everybody has doubts. I mean, every team in the league has some doubts about what they're going to do. I think the Bills, some of the doubts kind of reflect where they were last year. You know, nobody's really sure about their wide receiver room, and they did it last year with Mac Hollins and Marquez Valdes-Scantling on the roster and Khalil Shakir, who nobody knew about. And they started and they picked up Amari Cooper midseason, who now is still looking for a team. So the expectations were justifiably different last year. But in this year, they feel even better about that group that overachieved last year. Well, different guys overachieved last year, but they feel confident in their ability to do it even better this year. They scored more points in the NFL than anybody through the regular season and postseason last year. And it looks like they're going to be that good again. Josh seems at the height of his abilities. He just seems like there's nothing that gets around him, pre-snap, post-snap, and of course, he's the most difficult quarterback in the league to sack, so teams really have to take that into account when they're putting together a game plan. You can't even count on sacking the guy or getting pressure on him, because if you do, he's even better. He's a real problem. And with the guys they've got now and the philosophy they put in their wide receiver room and their skill set, particularly since they signed James Cook back, the Bills' offense is a real problem, because they are not afraid to hand it off half the time. And their offensive line, they're good. I mean, they may not be an elite offensive line, but they're big, they're athletic, and they run the ball really well. So you couple that all together, and that offense is, I mean, they're going to be right there again. The question mark around this team has to center around the defense. They did nothing of note last year except one thing. They consistently churned out turnovers. They couldn't get teams off the field in third down. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't rush the passer. It was all the best they could do is middle of the roads type numbers defensively. But they did get turnovers. That got them to the AFC Championship game. Mm. But defensively, if they can get any better, any significantly better in any part of their game, I think it'll achieve exponential results for the rest of the team, because all the offense needs is just, you know, make the other team miss on a couple of drives and you're going to win by a couple of possessions, because this offense is really difficult to stop. But defensively, I mean, you look at their draft, 5 of the first 6 picks were on that side of the ball. 3 of them were on the defensive front. And they got a really good corner in Max Hairston, who, when he gets back, he'll be plugged in pretty quickly, I would think. But that if the defense is where the question marks are, and if that does get better, this team is going to be an even tougher out than they were a year ago when they got the conference championship.
And then with Allen, Steve Tasker, I mean, I think the only question left for him to answer is how long can he stay this great, right? I mean, He's reached the zenith of human being, right? Like he is the real deal. You can't say enough about him as a person. And you can't say enough about him as a talented quarterback who leads a city and a fan base that is so starving for him to bring a parade to town. That's the only question I have about is Allen, because he can't get any better, right? Like, he's at the zenith of that, would think as well.
Yeah, you go to the analytics even point to it. I mean, even in crunch time and in playoff time and when all the – he plays, he's as good or better than anybody. Even Mahomes, his numbers are even better than Pat's when the chips are down. I mean, the guy just doesn't miss. He's impossible to get off the field. It takes a supreme effort by – you know, Steve Spagnuolo – seems to be able to do it at the right moment late in games, which is where it all comes down to. You know you're going to get into a spot with this team where you're going to be in a tussle. Even if you're playing your best, you're not going off and leaving them. Last year, they, you know, in the last 65 games, they've lost one game by more than a possession. And that was week three last year to the Ravens, when and they almost climbed back into that one after a couple of plays. So just after halftime, this is a team that is really difficult to beat. You know, even if you do manage to beat him, it's going to be a one-possession game, and you're going to have Josh with the ball at some point late. They're tough. They're going to be right there again this year. They really will be. And it'll be a question. And you know, you always hear this stuff about this team is cursed and that team is cursed. And that. If this team is cursed, it's not a curse of, you know, always losing the Super Bowl or whatever. It's the curse of losing your last game. That's the curse. They are good enough to beat anybody on any given day, but you got to play well on that last day of that last game. And they have just not played well enough on those days. They're good enough to go to and win the Super Bowl and have been for 5 years, but you got to play well on the final day. And they haven't been able to do that just yet.
Well, I guess before I let you go, Steve, maybe another intangible is this is the last year in this stadium. And that could lead to the good tidings, the good karma, the football gods. I don't know. I mean, it's just going to come down to, is it going to be in Highmark? Is it not going to be in Highmark? Is it going to be against the Chiefs? Will it be against the Ravens? Could there be another team that pops into the mix here that the Bills need to get past on that day? I mean, maybe it'll be the old Rich Stadium. That brings it through. I don't know, Steve. You know.
Yeah. Well, the perfect case scenario is because I'll say this. Like I said, if their defense plays well and raises the level, the one seed would be on the table for this team. They're going to be that good. I think their biggest challenge of this entire schedule is going to be opening night Sunday night against Baltimore. I've been on Baltimore's side of the schedule where you get put out of the playoffs by a team when you've got a really good squad. And you go in and you get put out on the road and you get put out of the playoffs and you really feel like you had a chance to go the distance. Baltimore is going to come into Buffalo on Sunday Night Football opening weekend and they're going to punch him in the mouth. If the Bills find a way to scrape out a victory in those circumstances, the sky's the limit for this crew. Now, the Bills will probably be favored, but I'm telling you what, I know John Harbaugh and I know those Ravens and what a good organization they are. That's going to be a tough team to beat on opening day. But that's the challenge, I think. That's the game on this schedule. The Bills really have a favorable road after that. I still think the one seed's going to be on the table for them, assuming their health.
Right.
So, yeah, best case scenario, Rich. AFC Championship game for the final game in Highmark Stadium here in Buffalo before they move over to the new venue and off to a Super Bowl in Santa Clara, right? So we'll see.
And a parade. Don't forget that. That's the one before.
And a victory cigar that's this big.
Yeah, and Jim Kelly's personal bar in his basement.
That is right.
Steve, thanks for the time. Let's do this throughout the season. Would love to chat as much as you're willing.
Call me anytime, Rich. Good seeing you.
Right back at you. That's Steve Tasker right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Awesome.
I mean,
that was great.
You saw the Bills' schedule. He's just like, the Ravens are the toughest test. I mean, they have both teams that were in last year's Super Bowl in their house and also Cincinnati.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, last year in the old Rich, current Highmark, there's some pretty big teams coming in for some massive contests.
And most of the country is going to see, if not the entirety of them, like Sunday night in week one.
You buy a pair of socks, that's two socks. You buy a pair of Bombas socks, that's four socks. Because one purchased is one donated. Socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters. So when you buy a pair of super comfortable Bombas socks, you're also donating a pair. Bombas customers have powered over 150 million donations. So Bombas would like to thank you 150 million times. But we only have like 30 seconds. Go to bombas.com and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO at checkout.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bob's had the same car, Betty, since high school, and that was a while ago. Bob's dealt with wipers, slow starts, and a few warning lights. And every time, Bob went to AutoZone, where a friendly AutoZoner helped with free services and the right parts to keep Bob and Betty on the road. No hassles, just help. Everything you need, nothing you don't.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Taking a 747 and driving it into a building. Did you really do that? That actually happened?
Yes, we did. We really did it. We looked at doing it with miniatures and CG and set builds and everything. And when you added up all those numbers, it occurred to us that it might actually be cheaper to buy a real plane. originally, we had our eye on like a 737, something like that.
Yes.
And we went out to the... the airplane graveyard of where we could buy an old 737. And while we were looking at the 737s, I started looking across the field. You could see these MD-11s, 747s. And I sort of thought, and I said to the line producer, well, hang on a second, why can't we get one of those big ones? Let's see if we're going to do it. I actually had the unique experience of impulse buying a 747. And then getting to crash it.
Before I let you go, what is your remote drop movie, Christopher? Wherever you're watching television and you see a film is a favorite of yours, or you just don't mind binging it, even if it's not yours, obviously. Which one is it? Just a fan of film?
I hadn't heard the remote drop as a phrase. That's a fantastic one.
There you go.
Yeah, I love it. And there are so many. I mean, I think by Kubrick, it's a remote drop. But some of the great comedies too. And I mean, Talladega Nights, I'm never going to be able to switch that off.
Okay, now then. Really?
What?
The Ballad of Ricky Bobby is a Christopher Nolan mic drop movie. Is that what you're saying?
If you ain't first, you laugh.
You're not wrong, Christopher. You're not wrong. I'm just, that's fantastic. Does Will Ferrell know this? Did you just reveal that?
He does now.
He does now.
Just the way he says that with his accent. Like,
if you're not first, you laugh.
There it is. It's very matter of fact.
I mean, he's right. So
it's true.
He's not wrong.
Well, you could be second, though.
Second place is the first loser.
Ooh, good point.
I'm telling you, watch Interstellar. You've never seen it, huh?
I haven't, and I do have a long flight tomorrow, so maybe I'll check that out.
Oh, that's right. It's your fantasy.
I am. I'm going back to the fantasy draft. Yeah, going to Philadelphia this weekend, so if you see us out and about, say what's up.
But you don't go out and about. When are you out and about? How do you go out and about?
I'm going out and about. If other people want to join me,
this
that's
is
up
great.
To them.
I can't wait to dig into this because we're digging into this now.
It's your favorite fantasy league.
It's my least favorite fantasy league, but I'm appreciative of the old school. Like, how long have you been with this now?
Let's see. This is year 23.
That's awesome.
23.
Okay. And everyone's an original?
No. I think 10 or 11 of the 14 are original.
Okay, very good. Yeah. And this goes back to college, right?
This goes back to college.
Okay. Yep. Which makes sense if you're a bunch of guys in college. Let's all get together and have a fantasy draft where there are no time limits on the draft choices,
Do I have news for you?
Hold on a second. How many teams are involved in this? Is it 14?
14.
14 is automatically absurd.
Yep.
Automatically absurd.
I also have news for you on that front.
And 14 teams, because that means the waiver wire is just nothing. There's nothing. And you'll never have a chance to get better, because unless you're that, if you got to be that bad to have a shot at the one person who's available,
right,
that's worth it. back on the Rich Eisen show with our radio. And so you were saying there's 14 teams in your fantasy league that you're flying off to Philadelphia because every year the draft is held in the city of the Super Bowl champion.
Correct.
Which is a cool thing.
I get it. So there's no time limit on the draft choices, which is absurd.
Yes. However,
okay,
we did institute a kind of time guideline this year of 5 minutes.
What does that mean?
That means we're going to kind of keep people honest now. And if you have five minutes and if you haven't picked, you're getting skipped.
Ooh. Oh.
So there is a time limit now.
It finally passed. It's not a hardened, you know, like.
What does that mean?
I'm just saying like the 90, like you would do online, like a 90 second and then on to the next. It's like 5 minutes. We're kind of watching the clock. Hey, man, it's been 5 minutes. Can you pick now? I'm not ready. You're getting skipped.
So there.
So it's a time limit.
It's a time limit.
But it's
but
not.
Why
like,
aren't you?
But we don't do it. It's not. I just mean that it's not online draft where it's like.
Right.
We're in, we're
because
in person.
You're in person.
Yeah. We got a board and there's stickers and all that stuff.
Right.
Right.
So, but there is a time limit.
Yes. Now there actually.
But why
is.
Won't you call it that?
I don't know.
What's
the point? I'm curious to see it in action.
Who's the enforcer?
Exactly. I don't know.
Anderson.
And I'm skeptical that it actually will be enforced.
I nominate you.
Well, a lot of people don't like me anyway. So
that's
perfect.
So you're perfect for the role.
Shocking.
You're perfect for the role. But why do you want to hang out with? Why do you want to fly?
Yeah, how could you be a league with people don't like you?
Why do you want to leave this show? Hey.
Well, I don't want to leave the show, but I didn't. I didn't get to go. I didn't go last year.
I understand
because
that,
we were also traveling for the show to Kansas City. I didn't want to go back.
It's not
twice
that. Also,
weeks.
You also didn't want to go to somebody's house that was in the practically
correct.
Like
correct.
Iowa.
Correct.
Yeah, 2 years in a row.
Right for the second straight year.
So where is this going to be? In a hotel?
The Airbnb rooftop situation.
Okay,
it's going to be fun.
All right. So you've actually
yes.
Wow. You're like you're like adults with disposable income.
Yeah.
And a sensibility of like, this isn't your life. Like you're going to just sit
like,
here.
Come on, man. We don't have 8 hours.
For 3 days.
Let's keep it moving.
Right.
Right.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, we stepped it up a little bit.
They're all grown up. They're all grown
proud of some of these guys for recognizing
that's great. That means you're evolving. People are evolving in their 50s, which I think is inspiring.
We're going to have a great day today.
Mid to late 40s.
Mid to late 40s is equally as inspiring.
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. This is great. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I just root for the Rams sarcastic. And Chargers so you don't have to even get on a plane next year.
That would be awesome.
Right?
That would be fantastic.
Although what? You didn't have to invite people to your house and you don't like these people.
Well,
they don't like you. I don't like them.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. I've got your back.
Thanks, buddy.
It's okay if we don't like you. Other people, though, with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun weekend.
You don't have to say that when you don't.
Well, congratulations.
That's the way I feel about your fantasy league.
They're
thank
all
you, Mike. You're the enforcer,
I'll
though,
see everybody
pal.
In Philly.
I nominate you.
Okay.
Yeah. I nominate you.
Look, I'll take it on. I'm glad to be like, let's go.
Yeah.
Because I want to see a situation like, you know, in the NFL draft. I want to see some people get skipped.
Skipping it.
Who's in charge of the stickers? Who creates the stickers?
There's just like a site you can just kind
of
order.
No, I know
you
that, but who's the one who's in charge of the ordering?
They're just kind of laid out. And when it's your turn, you just
who's
go up and get it.
Who's in charge of ordering them?
Oh, our buddy Scott.
Okay, that's it. So why won't Scott be the enforcer of the time?
I can ask him.
What do you mean you can ask him?
Now
I'm concerned.
I'm not the commissioner, so I'm not in any charge. Our buddy Mark is the commissioner.
Is Mark one of the people who likes you?
He's coming to dinner tomorrow night, so think so, yeah.
What does that mean?
I organize kind of like a
you're in charge of the dinner.
I organize a Thursday dinner.
Where have you done that in Philadelphia?
Ocean Prime in Philadelphia.
Oh,
there
nice.
We go.
Okay. Okay. Fancy.
Yeah. Look at us. Disposable income. I mean, my God.
Well, he is moving.
Once upon a time, these guys were doing it in their underwear with no time limits. Now there's a time limit. They're in an Airbnb, and now they got a seafood tower.
You
kind
of love it.
You're all grown up, and you're grown up, and you're grown up.
Vince Vaughn would be so happy.
Let's hit them all now while we got them.
TJ, I'm sitting 4F tomorrow morning. So
He's a father. He's a father.
We're all moving on.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying, Rich? All of us are moving up.
Come on, Rich.
Come on.
What does that mean, come on, Rich?
I mean, you used to take videos of me going to coach.
That's true.
Now look at him.
You won't do it anymore.
Warm
do
nuts.
It anymore.
That's all he's worried about.
Time. I want a hot towel.
Yeah, you don't
hot
try
towel,
and
shoot.
Warm nuts
I want a mimosa. I want a hot towel.
That's
let's
right.
go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
And you're going to be the enforcer. You're going to have to be.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to have to be. You're right
gonna
about
be
that.
The
I am going to have to be.
But somebody's going to have to get skipped.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting skipped. I guarantee it happens.
Then the fight breaks out.
Because you got to adjust. You know what I mean?
We can't take 15 minutes to figure out your wide receiver five.
It's absurd.
Like, what are we doing?
It enrages me, and I'm not involved.
I know.
Could you imagine if Rich wasn't there?
Being involved, how much it enrages me.
Okay. Leaving your spouse, if I may.
Yes.
Okay.
Our new dog.
Your new dog. Oof. Your baby. You're leaving us.
Yeah.
To go do this thing.
Yeah.
You are not going to let somebody take 5.5 minutes. Not even 5:10.
Not even 5:05.
5:01 is an outrage.
Getting skipped.
5 minutes. You step in.
Boom. You're out.
You should get a gavel.
I got one.
Gavel. Do you have a gavel?
Yeah, you want to take it?
I'm bringing it.
Yes.
The judge. Like a buffalo. Judge Brockman's chambers.
Keep it moving.
In an Airbnb somewhere,
downtown Philadelphia,
like Four Seasons Landscaping. Is that your Airbnb? You have the gavel with the box and everything. No, that's a mallet. Oh no, that's a gavel.
No, that's a gavel, baby.
And I got the thing too.
You got the thing.
Oh yes, the thing. Bringing it. It's coming.
Now TSA is going to stop him.
What's the gavel for, Judge Judy?
I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Tom Welling.
Welcome to Talkville,
where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
We're going to be talking to sometimes guest stars.
Are you liking the direction Lois is going in?
Yeah, because I'm getting more screen time.
It's good.
But mostly it's just me and Tom remembering.
I think we all feel like there was a scene missing here.
You got me, Tom.
Let's revisit it. Let's look at it.
See what we remember.
I had never been around anything like that before. I mean, it was so fun.
Talkville.
Talkville.
I just had a flashback.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Let's get into it.